Welcome to episode 57 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. I recently received an email from a guy called Thomas Trebiatowski with regards to exposure compensation. At first, I thought Thomas was just asking for technical reasons why we use exposure compensation, but it turned out that he was thinking more along the lines of any artistic reasons why we compensate exposure. It occurred to me that although I mention that I use -2/3 exposure compensation or +1/3, etc., I rarely explain why, other than because the background is dark or bright or things like that. I kind of expect that most listeners already know this, and I don't think I'm mistaken in thinking that. But it did start me thinking, though, that there are going to be some listeners that either have never really given this a thought or might just want to brush up on the reasons behind exposure compensation from both a technical and an artistic point of view. So with that, today I'm going to talk about this subject, and also if you have any similar requests for me to discuss various techniques or anything photography related really that I have not really explained in any detail, please drop me a line via the forum or the private messaging on the forum, or the contact form at martinbaileyphotography.com. In fact, I'm making this mail address more public these days anyway, so you can just also go right ahead and mail me on info@martinbaileyphotography.com as well. So let's move on to the main topic for today. For those of you that have followed this podcast for a while or have caught up on the archives recently, you'll probably remember that I discussed exposure and shooting in manual mode in episode 10, way back in November last year. In that podcast, I went into detail about EVs or exposure value, and we discussed how to easily calculate how much you need to decrease the shutter speed when increasing the size of the aperture, and vice versa. And also in situations when we might switch to manual mode. You might want to catch up on episode 10 if you haven't already, and if you're a little shaky in these areas too. I also spoke briefly about why we use exposure compensation in this episode, but we'll go into it in a little more detail today and take a look at some real world examples while we're at it as usual. So, first of all, why do we need to even use exposure compensation in the first place? Well, in-camera light meters are getting incredibly accurate and intelligent these days, but as they can still not connect into our brain and see exactly what we see in the same way that we see it, and also understand what our intentions are, they make mistakes. Your camera will try to render the scene in neutral brightness, average brightness, maybe that would be a better thing to say, similar to that of an 18% grey card. Now, if the scene is actually very dark, say it contains a lot of black objects, the camera will try to brighten them up and the result will be an overexposed image. If you remember in last week's podcast, I mentioned image number 1117, which has some bright reds, but a very dark background. Let's look at this image again first today, and you'll see what I mean. I actually found it took quite a lot of time to find some examples of where I've used exposure compensation in my images. I tend to switch to manual mode quite often, as I did in this shot, so it's maybe not such a good image to start with, but as we mentioned it last week, and this is possibly the image that sparked Thomas's question, or at least one of them, I thought we'd start with this today. Had I allowed the camera to select a shutter speed for me in aperture priority mode, It would have undoubtedly metered for the dark background, which would have meant that it would try to brighten it up. And the resulting image would have had a red flower so bright that almost none of the detail in the flower would have been visible. If we take a look at the next image, those of you at a computer can view the image on my website, and therefore you'll be able to see the EXIF or the shooting data below the image. Those of you that are not at a computer right now will just have to trust me. The image is number 895, which you can view either on your iPod or in iTunes. But if you want to view the shooting data too, click on the thumbnail in iTunes or go to the podcast page on my website and either enter the number 895 into the field at the top of the page or on the very top page on my website, and then click the orange button to jump to the photo. Or you can just find the episode in the table of podcasts and click on the thumbnail. You should be able to see a photo of some boats in a harbour at 5:20 a.m. before the sun came up. This is a perfect example of when to use exposure compensation to stop the camera from being fooled into making the shot too bright. Firstly, you'll notice that the top and the bottom of the shot is in total darkness, and there are a number of bright lights on the boats, but it's overall quite a dark image. Take a look at the EXIF data below the image and find the item called exposure bias. This is the amount of exposure compensation I applied when I shot this image. You'll see that it says minus 1.6666, loads of sixes, EV, which is minus 1 2/3 of a stop. Two rows down from that, and you can see that I was shooting in aperture priority mode. You can, of course, also use exposure compensation in shutter priority mode. The difference is in the aperture priority mode, as you set the aperture, that will allow your camera to automatically set the shutter speed. And in shutter priority, you set the shutter speed and your camera automatically sets the aperture to what it thinks is correct. So as you compensate exposure in shutter priority mode, your camera will change the aperture size, and the in aperture priority mode, exposure compensation affects the shutter speed. So if we look at the aperture for this image, it was shot at f5. If we look at the shutter speed, we can see that it was shot at 1/80th of a second. Had I not used any exposure compensation, we can calculate from this that I would have had a shutter speed of 1/25th of a second. This would have let so much light into the camera, though, that the scene would have been quite bright and probably not have looked like nighttime anymore at all. The other important thing here is that the bright light, as with the bright red flower in the last shot, the bright lights on the boats and their reflections in the sea would have become very bright too and started to overpower the shot. If you can't figure out how I got from 1/80th of a second to 1/25th of a second, let's take a look at the calculation. With some quick mental arithmetic, as we wanted to calculate the effect of minus 1 2/3 exposure compensation, we need to count the other way. As I'm really not good at maths either, I usually start to do this in whole numbers and then just move in fractions either side of a larger number. The first thing I would do is to add one stop of exposure. We simply need to double the length of the shutter speed, as I was working in fractions of a second. To double the shutter speed, we just half the 80 to 40. 1/40th of a second will allow light to enter your camera for twice as long as 1/80th of a second, obviously. After that, we have to add another 2/3. Again, my math skills are pretty bad, so I tend to take the strange route by once again adding one stop to get that. We need to half 40 to 20, and that gives us a total of two stops. The last part takes a little bit of memorizing the steps that the camera uses to jump between, in thirds of a stop. But basically, if we were to calculate an exact third, we'd end up with 1/27th of a second. But the camera uses 1/25th of a second instead. Another thing that you can do, if none of this is making much sense, is actually just pick up your camera and switch to manual mode. Then start to change the shutter speed and see the steps that it jumps by. You can also select 1/80th of a second, as we just used in the example, and as long as your camera is set to jump in thirds of a stop and not halves, you will see that 3 clicks takes you from 80 to 40, and then one more click takes you to 30, and the last click, a total of 5 thirds, takes you to 1/25th of a second. If you're not familiar with these steps, it's no big deal. The important thing is getting used to applying plus or minus exposure compensation. So the last example we looked at was a dark image. Let's take a look now at a reverse example. Image number 782 was shot on a snowy day, so there's a lot of white in the frame. This has the reverse effect on your camera's meter, as it wants to make the whites darker. Although there are a lot of reds and dark branches in this picture of a persimmon tree covered in snow, the camera still wanted to darken it down too much in the search for an average brightness. This time it took plus two-thirds of a stop to correct the exposure. Again, you can check the number in the shooting data or below the image. This time you can see plus 0.6666. In shots with lots of white and few dark areas, like a full field of snow, for example, would require much more exposure compensation of around probably plus 1 1/3 of a stop on an overcast day, or plus 1 2/3 on a brighter day. As I said earlier though, in challenging situations I tend to switch to manual mode, so I really don't have any examples that we can actually look at the EXIF data as well, because when you're in manual mode the exposure bias or the exposure compensation is just set to zero in the EXIF data. Obviously, you know, the camera isn't giving you any of its proposed settings, so there's nothing to add or subtract from. As the meter in the cameras is very accurate, most are these days, I don't carry my handheld light meter around with me very much at all these days. Rather, I use the camera's built-in meter. First, select the aperture and the aperture that I want to gain a certain depth of field, want to shoot the shot. And then as I change the exposure and the shutter speed, you can see in the camera's viewfinder a little indicator that shows how much above or below your current settings are from what the camera thinks the exposure should be. As you change the shutter speed or the aperture, you can see the camera will display how off it thinks you are. Whether you're in manual mode or not, just using normal exposure compensation, I strongly suggest that if you're using digital, you shoot a test shot or two, and as you do, check your histogram. If your camera has the ability to show a histogram in red, green, and blue channels, with red, green, and blue channels separately, I strongly suggest you use that feature too. In scenes where there is a predominant colour like the reds in the equinox flowers we looked at last week and the first shot today, it's very easy for them to clip. Clipping is an expression used to mean that one or more of the channels is hitting the right side or the left side of the histogram, and therefore the colour is blowing out or becoming totally white if it's the right side, or the dark areas, the shadows, are becoming totally black if the histogram is hitting the left side. When this happens, either too bright or too dark areas will contain no detail whatsoever. Although I myself try to get the exposure spot on in the field, If you're the sort of person that tends to just shoot away and then try to fix it in Photoshop, you will probably already know that there is no way to get detail back in areas that have clipped in this way. There are tools that will enable you to get a bit of detail back, but it always depends on the area at fault not clipping totally. When this happens, no amount of playing around in Photoshop will help. Anyway, if you keep your eye on the histogram, even if it's not an RGB histogram, and ensure that you don't touch the right or left edges, then you'll have detail throughout your image. Of course, there will be times when the scene contains more contrast than your camera can record. When this happens, you have two choices: either expose for the highlights and allow the shadows to go totally black, losing detail, or go the other way and expose for the shadows, allowing the highlights to blow out, going totally white. You can also use a gradual neutral density filter to reduce the contrast in your shot or part of the shot and even it out a little bit. Or you can shoot two images, one for the highlights and one for the shadows, as I mentioned just now, and then merge them in Photoshop. This is kind of like a Photoshop version of using a neutral density filter, only you have more control. This is the method that I'm choosing over a gradual neutral density filter these days. I spoke more about this in episode 36 if you're interested in listening to more about these techniques. So I also said that we'd look at some artistic reasons for exposure compensation today. Before we really get into that though, we should note that there really is no right or wrong exposure as such. Pretty much all exposure compensation is simply a means to an end. Either it's to get what we want or what we believe to be the correct exposure, or modify the exposure to the point that it produces what would generally be thought of as an artistic effect, as opposed to a correct quote-unquote exposure. In image number 673, we can see a very bright picture of some lavender. In this image, I used plus 1.3 stops of exposure compensation, really pushing the brightness way up, which in combination with a wide aperture for a very shallow depth of field gives a really soft, dreamy look to the image. The aperture for this shot was f2.8, which is wide open for my 100mm macro lens, and this aperture gave me a shutter speed of 1/200th of a second at ISO 100. This is one example of an artistic application of exposure compensation, I guess. Another example is image number 729, in which I used minus 1 2/3 exposure compensation to make the line of trees and the boat and the shoreline quite dark, though not totally silhouetted, against the bright rays of sunshine bursting through the thick cloud. This was shot at f8 for 1/640th of a second, again at ISO 100. Of course, had I not used minus exposure compensation here, the sun's rays would have been very bright, as well as the trees and the shoreline, so the mood of the shot would have been totally lost. With that in mind, I guess there are two reasons for compensating here, but I reckon both could be classed as artistic decisions. So that's about it for today. As I said, if you have any particular subject that you'd like me to discuss, please drop me a line from the forum or contact form, or mail me at info@martinbaileyphotography.com. Pretty much any topic would be okay, but please remember that I only usually talk about things that I have experience with. So for example, if you mail me with a request on how to do wedding photography or studio lighting, which I don't do myself, I couldn't do a podcast from my own experience, but hopefully I could find maybe someone that does have that kind of experience and do an interview or something like that. So by all means, go ahead and mail me on just about any subject, but bear in mind that I might not be able to talk about these myself, and so it might take a while for me to actually get around to giving some information out on certain subjects. If it's things that I know about already, then I'll probably be able to fit it in pretty quickly. Also, bear in mind that I'm really not very up on actual photography equipment other than Canon. So if you have specific questions about other makers for lenses or cameras, I probably wouldn't be able to do anything very quickly, if at all. But definitely for generic questions, like why do sometimes we lenses have like lens flare, or how is a lens's focal length calculated, things like that, then I would definitely be able to get something out to you. Thanks again to Thomas for today's topic. Thomas actually has just started a photography podcast of his own, which you can find at shutterstories.com. They are short snippet type podcasts of less than 5 minutes each, but they got me thinking a little when I checked them out the other day. Quite philosophical and easy to listen to. So I definitely would suggest that by all means go along and give them a listen yourself. You can subscribe in iTunes as well. Finally, once again, a reminder that the reflections assignment is still in progress. You'll be fine to upload your entries to the MBP Members Gallery's assignment album until midnight on Sunday the 22nd of October, just about anywhere in the world. Check out the assignment forum for more details. So with that, please do have a great week, whatever you do. Bye bye. The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a member of the Photocast Network. Find other photography-related podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.